We're getting ready to remember 9/11. We will never forget. Colorado Springs remembers, and we have a very special guest coming with us on KRDO's Morning News, and we appreciate you taking time for us. Retired U.S. Air Force General Richard B. Myers, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. General, good morning, and thank you for joining us.
Hey, good morning. Great to be with you.
Well, we are so excited for you to join us this morning, General, and we'll talk about the event next week, which you were the keynote speaker at. But you know what? We're reading your bio, General, and what an incredible career. Can you tell us more about it?
Well, it's been very fulfilling. Well, for a guy that never intended to go into the military, you know, then spending 40 years there, my wife and I just really feel privileged to have been able to serve that long. Some of that time in Colorado Springs, as you know.
Oh, that's fantastic. And then once you finished, you were the 15th chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and then you were a pilot and flew several hours, several thousand,
yeah.
I should say.
I was lucky enough to get into pilot training and then essentially flew fighter-type aircraft, the F-4, F-15, F-16, for most of my career. I was very, very, very fortunate.
Well, General, when I ask most people, when you think about 9/11, what happened that day, I know exactly where I was when I heard the news. Where were you when the attacks happened?
Well, I had been nominated by President Bush to be the next chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and that day I was the acting chairman because my boss, the chairman at the time, Hugh Shelton, was on an airplane going to Europe. And so I was in the Pentagon ready to go to the Capitol Hill to visit with some senators to get ready for my nomination hearing. And I was actually on Capitol Hill when we heard about the first tower. I was there in the meeting with the senator when we heard about the second. And then as I came out of the office, we decided something was happening at that point, of course. And so when I came out of the office, I had a phone call from Colorado Springs, it turns out. And the commander of North American Aerospace Defense Command, General Ed Eberhardt, a good friend of mine, called and said, you know, we've got so much confusion in the airspace right now. We can't tell who's been hijacked, what's going on. So he used his authority, which he had. He didn't have to get permission to do this. He had authority to tell air traffic control, the FAA, to land all the airplanes right now. And if you were flying that day, you remember that because you probably landed at someplace other than your destination. So that was that's a good tie to Colorado Springs and maybe not well understood by many. It was just such confusion was the first thing about that day. The second thing was, how didn't we anticipate this? Why didn't we think about, you know, terrorist organizations using an airplane as a weapon? But other than perhaps a few people, some places that just wasn't, you know, commonly thought of as a tactic they would use. But we found out that really asymmetric warfare took a real form that day.
And General, the planes, I remember I was on the air that morning when it happened, and we immediately, of course, had to go into, you know, emergency coverage, as we all did in broadcasting that day. But I would remember, like, I would have to excuse myself because it was such a tremendously emotional day. So I'd have to excuse myself, go outside, and the silence in the air was just, you could just hear it. You know what I mean? After the planes were grounded, how many days did that stay, all the planes grounded after that?
I think it was for a couple, several days, 2 to 3. I can't remember exactly. It was the same feeling, though, that I had when I left the Pentagon that night. So Pentagon was hit. It was on fire when I came back from Capitol Hill to go back to the National Military Command Center. People were asked to evacuate, but I had to go to the command center. There was a lot of smoke that day, and then there was just all this chaos trying to sort it out. But that evening, as I went home, got in my car, and left for our residence at Fort Myer, Virginia, it was so eerily quiet. The Pentagon's right next to Reagan Airport, basically, and you're used to hearing all this jet noise. It was quiet. Mm-hmm. Then you heard the sound of fighters, very distinct from commercial aircraft, and I said, that was our air defenders that were patrolling the skies over Washington, D.C., and my thought was, how can this happen? How can we be in this particular situation with, you know, our own fighters patrolling our skies and no commercial airplanes flying? It was not only eerie, but it was, of course, the start of how do we protect ourselves from these kind of asymmetrical threats? How do we deal with these kind of challenges? It was a day I'll never forget.
And General, as I remember, the country really did come together, didn't it? I mean, everyone kind of united.
It was probably, you know, one of the good things that happened out of that tragedy and all the people that lost their lives in New York and in Washington, D.C. and on Flight 93 They crashed in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Yeah, it was the American flags flying on cars, and all I can tell you is what I saw in Colorado Springs, I mean in Washington, D.C., but seemed like every other car had an American flag flying from it. It brought us together like nothing in a long time has done. I would say when you go to testify in front of Congress, the unity there, even though some people there didn't agree with what the president was doing, there was a sense of unity, and they were respectful of the mission that we had, and would ask I would say nonpartisan types of questions. They just wanted to know what are you doing, what's happening next, that sort of stuff. That changed, I think, sometime around the 2004 election. As we got closer to that, then politics came back into play, and we started down a road that I think is part of what we see today is the divisiveness. That was a moment where the country was absolutely unified.
We are speaking with Richard B. Myers. He is one of the former chairmen of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. We've got an upcoming event remembering a 9/11. We'll continue with the general in just a couple of moments. General, please hang on for just a moment or two. We'll be right back to you. It is 6:43 on KRDO's Morning News.
This morning, we are talking with General Richard Myers, former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, also going to be the keynote speaker at next week's Colorado Springs Remembers commemoration event of September 11th. General, thank you so much for continuing to talk with us this morning. And as you know, I mean, having been here and served here in Colorado Springs, what a powerful military community we are with five military installations. But that day, September 11th, forever changed the lives of first responders and military service members, didn't it?
Well, of course it did. I think for first responders, I mean, we saw that response in New York City. I mean, the pictures that came out of that tragedy tell it all when you're talking about first responders. And I think it pointed the need that, you can have all the courage and valor you want, but you also need to have good communications with everybody that's responding, and there were lots of shortfalls that day, particularly in New York City, that have been worked on since then. But that's one of the big lessons, is to make sure our first responders have the right equipment to do what they need to do. So when they have to show courage, that they've got everything going on their side that they can possibly have in terms of their equipment and their technology. But yeah, that's. It has changed everything forever. We know that every time we go to the airport, right? We all have to go through the screening process. But and that's that balance in a democracy between security and freedom. And I think we'll continue to work on that as we see events around the world unfold in terms of other terrorist acts. And there have been many, not foreign terrorist acts on our soil to any extent since 9/11. So that's good. Now we have some internal issues, of course, and we'll get into that. But how we deal with this between our security and our freedom, one of the biggest questions, I think, as a nation we have.
Well, General, growing up, I remember, FDR's the speech where he said, "A day will live in infamy." This is that same type of event. And why is it important to remember it?
Well, I think, for starters, it was a surprise. And it was a tragic surprise along the lines of Pearl Harbor, if you will. And I think, there were a lot of people that knew about Al-Qaeda back in that day. And some of the comments you would hear is, well, what can a bunch of, a small group of terrorists in the Middle East, what can they possibly do to us? The oceans always used to protect us. And we found out that day that this term we used to use back then about asymmetric warfare, it put real teeth into that term, and we found out what asymmetric warfare can really do. So I think what one of the big things we learned is eternal vigilance. I mean, I think we always knew that, but it certainly redoubled everybody's efforts, from the intelligence community to first responders to the military to be ready, and our civilian authorities there too, the county and city governance authorities in Colorado Springs and El Paso County and everywhere we live. I mean, people just have to be ready. And if we're ready for this, then we're ready for other things that can occur, flu, epidemics, those sorts of things. You just have to be vigilant. At the same time, we live in a very free country. We can do what we want to do. We're so blessed. But I think 9/11 for me was about being vigilant and being ready.
And General, we are very very excited that you are going to be here next week, and you're going to be the keynote speaker at Colorado Springs Remembers. It's the commemoration event happening at Memorial Park. And a lot of folks may not know there are actually eight pieces of the World Trade Center, eight memorials here in Colorado Springs. One of the pieces from the World Trade Center will be brought from Fort Carson. And it's very important, General, that you are coming to be the keynote speaker at this event.
I feel very honored to have been asked, and always good to come back to Colorado Springs. And I do from time to time. I'm just over here in Manhattan, Kansas, so I'm not very far away, but my wife and I are honored to be there. We're going to be, of course, have a chance to see a lot of friends, and then to commemorate that day. And I'm, like I said, I'm more than honored to be part of it.
And really quick, General, I know you have to get going. If those that don't know, a General is actually now the president of Kansas State University. That's your alma mater, isn't it?
That is my alma mater. Yeah. And I'll just say I never thought I'd be here in this capacity, but somebody called and I put my name in the hat, and here I am. And I tell you, being on campus with students and faculty and staff, there's a lot of challenges in higher ed today, but it's also a lot of fun and energizing to be here.
I bet. Well, thank you so much, General Richard Myers. We appreciate it. And by the way, really quick, everybody, for information about Colorado Springs Remembers next week, the ceremony, go to cosremembers.org. General Myers, thank you so much.
Thank you, Renee and Mike. Thank you very much.
All right. We enjoyed talking to you, General. It was a pleasure.
Ditto. Ditto.
It was an honor, too. Thank you, sir. 6:52 on KRDO's Morning News.